She was Viennese, not yet 17 in the spring of 1931, but already a professional actress in rehearsal for a play. Hedwig Kiestler, Hedy, had won a small role in the Berlin production of The Weaker Sex, which the celebrated Austrian impresario Max Reinhardt was directing. When Reinhardt restaged the play in Vienna that spring, she had single-mindedly quit the Berlin cast and followed him home. "Are you here too, Fräulein Kiestler?" he'd asked her in surprise. "Are you living with your family? All right, you can be the Americaness again." Édouard Bordet's play was a comedy with a pair of boorish stage Americans as foils. Reinhardt had assigned the actor George Weller, Hedy's husband in the play, to teach her some American songs. "I took this as a mandate to make an American out of Hedy Kiestler," the young Bostonian recalled. She was eager to be transformed. "Hedy had only the vaguest idea of what the United States were," Weller discovered, "except that they were grouped around Hollywood." She idolized the California tennis star Helen Wills, Little Miss Poker Face. Wills, focused and unexpressive on the court, all business, was the world's number one ranked female tennis player, midway that year through an unbroken run of 180 victories. "Watch me look like Helen Wills," Hedy teased Weller when they rehearsed together. "Du, schau mal, her bin ich kleine poker face." Her lively young face would grow calm, Weller remembered. Expressionless and assured, her brow would clarify, and for a moment she would really become an American woman. Commandeering the property room, Hedy and George practiced singing, "Yes, sir, that's my baby. Yes, we have no bananas." And an Austrian favorite, Al Jolson's lugubrious Sonny Boy. It melted the matrons at matinees, many of them mothers with sons lost in the long slaughter of the Great War. An only child, entertaining herself with her dolls, Hedy had dreamed since she was a little girl of becoming a movie star. A movie star. "I had a little stage under my father's desk," she recalled, "where I would act out fairy tales. When someone would come into the room, they would think my mind was really wandering. I was always talking to myself." Her tall, handsome, vigorous father, Emil, an athlete as well as a successful banker, told her stories, read her books, and took her on walks in their tree-lined neighborhood and in the great park of the Wienerwald, the Vienna Woods. Wherever they went together, he explained to her how everything worked. "From printing presses to streetcars," she said. Her father's enthusiasm for technology links her lifelong interest in invention with cherished memories of her favorite parent. Hedy's mother was stricter, concerned that such a pretty, vivacious child would grow up spoiled unless she heard criticism as well as compliments. "She has always had everything," Trude Kiestler said. "She never had to long for anything. First there was her father, who of course adored her and was very proud of her. He gave her all the comforts, pretty clothes, a fine home, parties, schools, sports. He always looked for the sports for her, and music." Trude had trained as a concert pianist before motherhood intervened. In turn, she supervised Hedy's lessons on the grand piano in the Kiestler Salon. "I underemphasized praise and flattery," Trude determined, "hoping in this way to balance the scales for her." The Kiestlers were assimilated Jews, Trude from Budapest, Emil from Lemberg, now known as Lvov. Hedy kept her Jewish heritage secret throughout her life. Her son and daughter only learned of it after her death. In pre-war Vienna, it hardly mattered. The Viennese population's mixed legacy of Slavic, Germanic, Hungarian, Italian, and Jewish traditions was one of its glories. One reason for the city's unique creative ferment in the last decades of the new century. Sigmund Freud's daughters attended the same girls' middle school that Hedy later did, and after the war, Anna Freud taught there.